Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's going on, everybody? It is Tuesday. Show Me the Money Club live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Sergio, what's going on? How you doing?
How you doing, buddy? Good. Trading my ass off, bro.
Nice. Yeah, the market's been going crazy. But we are here to talk about Uber and Lyft and what's going on. So let's go right into what our rundown is. And we have a couple of conversations. One, talking about billions are at stake for drivers in California versus Uber and Lyft. Then we're going to be talking about how to increase your Uber driving score, tips from CMT. We're going to be talking about Advantage versus Standard in California. And because Sergio now has it, of course, he's going to read the fine print. So we're going to find out something there. And then are Uber drivers worried about AVs? We also posted a poll about that, so we'll not only go over what the topic is, but the results of that so far. And if you'd like to take part in that poll, just go into our posts. It's a couple of posts down, and you can vote in that one as well. We're going to be talking about Uber investing $300 million in Lucid for AVs. We're going to be talking about Tesla Robotaxi expanding in Austin. We have the visual picture for everybody, so you can see. For those who are listening, well, you'll have to go to YouTube and watch it. And then how to successfully cherry pick in 2025, which is going to be the topic of our driver's corner. So how you can cherry pick in 25, even when there may not be any cherries.
There is cherries. If you pick it, there is cherries.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Cherry tree is a blossoming. And then we do have our Behind the Wheel series with Sergio as the host, and he interviews local drivers of all different shapes, sizes, and areas of, you know, what works for them. So they might not be cherry pickers. They might be the biggest ant in the world, but if it works for them, it works for them. So Sergio, talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. Please email me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com. Would love to host you on one of these episodes. We have a great one coming up this week with our good friend Levi from Syracuse. And we'll have a good one coming up next week, which I'm recording this week, but which we like to stay ahead. I know a couple of you emailed me already. I'm a little behind in my emails. I will definitely respond. We will have you on as well, but the more the merrier. All you do is email me with a short paragraph or what? Give me an idea of what you want to talk about. You know, not your life story. And doesn't matter if you're veteran, newbie, 2 trips, 200 trips, or 20,000 trips. We just want to have a conversation and put you on the channel and get your voice out. And I love doing these. So email me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we got a good show for you today. And of course, we'll just get right into the first topic, talking about how billions are at stake for drivers in California. Sergio, what is going on here? What the heck?
Okay, well, we talked about this when we had Nicole Moore on. Remember Nicole Moore of RDU? I think it was like 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, March sometime, something like that.
He's right in that range, yep.
Right. So Nicole is the president of RDU, Rideshare Drivers United, LA-based entity. They're not exactly your typical union like SEIU or things like that, but they're pretty strong. And what they had done is they had, with the California Labor Commissioner, they had filed wage claims. 5,000 drivers that are members of RDU did this. Then they took it seriously, the politicians and the government entities. And we're at the stage of settlement negotiations with Uber and Lyft. Basically, if you drove between 2016 and 2020 for Uber, until they spent, not just Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Grubhub, all of these, $230 million of their money to pass Prop 22. But before then, we had something called AB5, which codified every driver as these companies' employees. So the wage claims, 5,000 strong, they were approved. And they said, yep, all drivers who drove full-time, part-time, doesn't matter, up to 250,000 drivers, which I was one, full-time driver, actually. So I want my money. I cannot say too much about the settlement because it's kind of private. So it's the California Attorney General, the city attorney of San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are in negotiations, very heavy negotiations with Uber and Lyft for a settlement talks. I keep in touch with Nicole. I offered my help because Uber and Lyft are going to come back with some ridiculous number. As much as we appreciate the politicians doing good work, they don't know the business. I offered my help, said free help. I want to be in the room because I want to. I know the rebuttal for everything Uber and Lyft are going to come with to lower the bill. But this will ultimately go as the largest settlement. At the moment, the estimates are $1.3 to $1.5 billion with a B, folks. Ooh. And it's material. And I said, I want to be in the room. So I'm waiting to hear from them virtually or personally, whatever. I'm willing to just go sit there and negotiate for drivers so that the politicians, you know, the Uber and Lyft don't, what do you call that? Draw the wool on their eye or politicians' eye, right? So all I know is there are serious conversations going on. Now, if the negotiations fall apart, this will go to court. This will go to trial next year. But as we all know, Uber has never gone to trial, ever, about any subject. They drag it in courts and then they settle. But yeah, that's the latest news. And I'm going to talk to Nicole again. Maybe we'll have her on when the negotiations are at a level that she can talk about it. I'm curiously waiting to hear from them, or if they need my help or whatever it is. I'm definitely going to try to do my best to get the drivers the best deal as opposed to cutting some corners of what Uber and Lyft are offering. So yeah, it's a lot of money. And
they surely would not want me in the room because I would just be like, what do all drivers need to be paid specifically, like, to make a perfect amends? Because that is where I am at. You are not getting a penny less. You are going to be paying full amount, and I don't give a shit what you have to say.
That's my attitude, Chris. That's my attitude. And the thing is, all these drivers who drove from 2016 to 2020, we're talking about getting treated like an employee, and the expenses, the online hours that they were not paid for. As we know, there is online hours and there is hocus pocus active hours. This goes back to online hours, overtime pay. All these things are included in this settlement and negotiations, and that's why it's going to run into billions. And I want drivers to get the money, and I want to get my money. I mean, hey, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, that's the whole thing. There should be no settlement. It should be, this is the price that you fucked up on, and this is the price you have to pay. One for one. There's no backpedaling. No, oh, we'll do, we were supposed to give $2 billion to drivers, but we'll come back with $350 million. We'll give that to, no. It's 100% of the pay that you owe, because you fucked up. You decided not to do that. So they wouldn't want me in there because I would just lay down the hammer and do exactly that.
Well, it's three city attorneys and the state attorney general. So we can't go, you can't go more than that. So, you know, if otherwise I would have said Uber and Lyft, they're going to overmatch legally. They have legal power. They're going to pay for the best lawyers, this and that. But we're dealing with state attorney general and three city attorney offices. So the firepower is pretty equal. I just want to make sure that when Uber and Lyft come with an offer, we have something to say as far as, you know, because look, the politicians don't know. They're not drivers. They don't know. They don't know the business. They don't know how it works. At least educate the politicians, you know, for them to go back and saying, hey, go F yourself. This is not enough. You need to come clean and do the right thing or whatever it is. But anyway, so that's where that news is. We will keep you posted. When the time is up, we'll have Nicole on again so she can talk about it. But my hat's off to Rideshare Drivers United, guys and gals. Without their 5,000 strong wage claims with the labor board, this would not have gone anywhere. And they persisted. They stayed strong. And it's not just them 5,000 or they're going to get more than other drivers. This is everybody who drove between 2016 and 2020. And estimates are 250,000 to 300,000 drivers. So you don't have to do anything now. Don't email me, please. Please don't email me. Please don't.
Where to sign up, Sergio? Where to sign up?
No. This is not a class action lawsuit. This is none of that stuff. This is just a pure settlement. And then if you drove those times, you will get money. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about your Uber driving score. These are from CMT.
I'm going to get my driving score.
Increase. There's a reason why you want to have a high driving score, though. There's absolutely a reason.
To be advantage, man. I want to be advantage driver.
No, you don't even need. No. Not even that. Do you think? I mean, we all know they're throttling drivers. No matter how you want to slice the cake, they're throttling drivers where they see fit. Maybe for specific reasons. I'm not even going to get into that now. But when it comes down to it, have a good CMT score. Why? Because they can easily say anybody who has a low CMT score is going to get less ride requests and is going to make less overall because they drive stupidly. Whether CMT is accurate or not, that's a different discussion. But I am definitely going to say, if you can get your CMT score higher than what it currently may be, do what you can in order to do that, because you will probably thank me later, because you will probably get better requests coming in. And whether you have advantage or standard in your area or not, I'm sure they are doing it because it's going to come down to one simple factor, and that is cutting the insurance costs and doing what they can there.
Yeah, for sure. And but this one is, to me, to be my app, because as of the 23rd, as of tomorrow, we have advantage versus standard, Chris. Guess what's going to happen, Chris? What do you think is going to happen, Chris?
Huh? You are going to be denied advantage.
We don't have acceptance rate, so I'm automatically going to be advantage because my rating is there, my cancellation is there, and my CMT is there at the moment. So it goes, hey, Sergio, the new Driving Insights dashboard provides you with useful information about your driving. I get it. However, I'm also getting emails, Chris, from a lot of drivers around the country who already had advantage versus standard tied into with the CMT scores, that CMT's speed limits recorded on their app or whatever it is not accurate or it's old. Mm-hmm. And it's throwing out saying that you're going too fast. Well, a lot of people are saying, we're not going fast, we're going to speed limit, but they haven't updated it. So CMT, update your database or update whatever you need to update so that you don't throw out these false flags on drivers and tank their driving scores. You know what I'm saying? So speeding is dangerous for young riders. Absolutely. Look, I drive like a grandmother when I'm driving passengers. You know what I'm saying? Period.
I'm an F1 driver.
Yeah, I'm you, Mario Andretti right here. So I was like, data from your research.
And you know, I'll be like Dale Earnhardt. If you keep telling me how to drive, I'll just put your ass right into the wall.
And then if you do that, Chris, you're going to get this email. Data from your recent trips indicates that you may have been speeding, sir. Your safety is our priority. One of our three roadway deaths involves speeding, according to the Governor's Highway Safety Association. Driving within the speed limit can help prevent. We did a great interview with a young driver. I think it was from Connecticut. Remember, it was like a month and a half ago? He had 100%. That did like so well. And he says he gave some great tips. So go check out that video on Behind the Wheel. He was on. I'm telling you, you guys can learn from a young one there. And then the next one, it says you're new driving, so that part. But this is the part that kind of is like an oxymoron, right? Stay focused on the road, not your screen. So how do I do that when you're pinging me with all kinds of bullshit when I'm driving?
Ding. We've also noticed that you are touching your phone too much. And we noticed that you are driving while touching your phone. Dude, you're the one who's sending me these requests. So screw off.
You're the one that's sending me trip radar. So use the dashboard to see driving habits. So consider using phone mount and placing your phone at eye level. Okay. Even when connected to your car screen. This helps your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road. Yes. Excellent. And so this is how you increase your CMT driving score. So you can be advantage and get that extra 5% cheese. You'll need to have driving insight score of 75 or higher. This is in California, advantage mode. And it will be launched tomorrow. And I'm definitely going to TEST that one. Your driving habits may clear your driving insight score powered by Cambridge Mobile Telematics. So CMT, fix the speed limit thing, because your speed limit, a lot of drivers say they're not accurate. So actually, we will email CMT and tell them about that. And be gentle on the brakes. Now, if you're driving an EV and you have that, what do you call that thing?
Regenerative braking.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you should take it off and actually brake as opposed to using the regenerative braking, because that thing is pretty harsh. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I would put a little sticker in the back that says, I don't brake hard. My regenerative braking does.
Good idea, actually. Actually, that's a pretty good idea.
Just to let them know what's going on, but yeah.
Well, they know they're in an EV. Well, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, but a lot of people aren't going to, I mean, the average normie is not going to know, you know, the difference between an EV, how it drives and not. I mean, they may ask questions and say, oh, hey, this is an EV. What's the range? Do you feel, you know, that you're going to run out of miles or anything like that? I'm sure is going to be probably the majority of conversations, but they're not going to be like, oh, what's going on with this braking? They might just think you drive like an asshole.
Yeah. No, that's true. A lot of people who drive Teslas complain about that. The riders, anyway. They go like, oh, this is harsh braking. I'm like, you know.
But yeah, I drive stick. So I'm like, look, when the turbo boosts, you're going to be in the back seat. So just so you know.
You know, there are commercials like that now. There are like kids like sitting. And then with the Tesla, what do you call that thing? The Model S. That crazy one, you know, that goes Plaid. 2 seconds. Plaid, yeah. They're just like stuck on the seat until the guy lets go of the, you know, accelerator, and then they sit down. Otherwise, they're stuck on the seat. That must be some sort of ride, bro. I'm telling you. Shit.
Any way to opt out? I'm sorry. Yeah. You signed Uber's TOS in order to drive, so you're already opted in.
No, hold on. I'm serious. So Daniel, I sent your request. I got it, obviously. I sent it to Uber, as is, Daniel. I'm waiting to hear. If we don't hear, that means F off. If we do hear or we're looking into it, then I'll keep you posted, because Daniel wants to opt out. By the way, on the CMT website, you can opt out. It says you can opt out. And Daniel has a good point. And by the way, don't mess with Daniel. Daniel is a data scientist. He's going to be a data scientist or PhD in data science. So he's no dummy. So whatever Daniel says, take
it. That's how they get you, because it'll just be tied into the Uber.
Yeah, but
use Uber, you gotta opt in. So
automatically
100%, that's exactly how they're gonna do it. So you could be a data scientist for all you want. They're gonna find the legalese to make it happen.
No, I get that. But he's saying that if you're using CMT and CMT allows me to opt out, then I should be able to opt out. That's what he's saying, which I agree with.
No, I agree with that. I agree that you should be able to opt out, but the reality is that's what's going to end up happening.
That's the difference. Uber reality versus in there. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I sent it, Daniel. I sent it to Uber, and I haven't heard anything yet. Maybe you'll hear it. I don't know, but I haven't. So I'll let you know. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, let's move on. Let's talk about Advantage versus Standard coming to more markets, including your market of LA and some tests. Me, on the other hand, still don't have it, don't want it, don't need it.
Well,
5% of nothing is nothing.
Obviously, this worked for them. You remember when we first announced this like a year ago, right? And then it must have worked. But then the California version, folks, is a little different. We don't have any AR restrictions on this like you guys do. Not that the AR restrictions that you guys have, which was, I think it's 25%, is that high. I mean, I get it. Some of you are like zero. I get it. That's your badge of honor, have zero AR. But I mean, if they're offering you
the same trip 18 times and it's only paying you 41 cents a mile, come on. Nobody's going
to
accept that.
That's how you go to zero.
That's going to tank your AR.
Yeah, that's how you go to zero. Yeah.
And then there's just people who are just doing that on purpose.
Well, no. We're not doing any of this on purpose, Uber. We're just
I'm saying like there's drivers who are just, oh, that's coming in, deny. Oh, look, I got a 2%.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm just going to put it out. My AR is 24% at the moment. Uh-oh. And my CR is 1% because when I finish that freaking trip. Okay. And because otherwise I'm not going to accept 24-1. Yeah. And
I'm the same way. If I'm going to accept something, I'm going to take it. The only way I won't is if it's too many people, you know, underage or, you know, kid without a car seat. Like those types of things. Something that's going to pose a serious safety risk or is illegal that they're trying to do, then at that point I cancel. But other than if I'm going to accept the ride, I take it.
Yeah, no, me too. And I do the same thing with Uber Eats when I do Uber Eats, right? I mean, anyway, but the cancellation, so the threshold in California is cancellation of 8%, which is pretty easy. I mean, what are you guys doing if you're canceling 8% of the time? Now this may be hurt some drivers.
I know what you're doing if they're doing 8% cancellation rate, and you probably know exactly what they're doing too.
Absolutely, yeah. And but the star rating, you know, is pretty high, 485. I don't know. Mine is 496. Mm-hmm. And driving score 75 or more. I think I'm okay on this one. So, however, there is something that I caught and I tweeted this out and I said, read the small print, and I highlighted it. Now it is too damn small for my glasses, Chris. You need to read what I highlighted.
You want just the highlight or you want the whole thing?
It's up to you, whatever you want to do. Maybe for context purposes, you should just maybe a couple of sentences before and a couple of sentences after or something.
I'll just read number two, period. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 little, you know, caveats that they have there. We'll read two because two is the one where it's highlighted. So it says, available only to drivers taking eligible non-premium rides in Advantage mode, commute delivery trips such as Uber Eats and Uber Connect, hourly taxi, Uber Black, Uber Black SUV, Uber Premier SUV, and Uber Reserve trips are not eligible for 5% additional Advantage mode earnings. The 5% additional Advantage mode earnings is calculated on a per trip basis and certain earnings such as Quest promotions, tips, wait time fees, cancel fees, tolls, and other third-party fees, and operational expenses, as stated on your receipt, are not included in the calculation. Advantage mode earnings will be included in the calculation for any additional earnings to be provided under any applicable minimum earnings guarantees. Here's the part that is highlighted. Uber does not guarantee drivers will experience higher earnings than earnings received prior to the launch of Advantage Mode. Let me read that again. Uber does not guarantee drivers will experience higher earnings than earnings received prior to the launch of Advantage Mode. What do you think that means? Put it in the comments. Let us know. But just to give you a little bit more, additional earnings while in Advantage Mode will be shown in as a separate payout on the trip receipt and weekly earnings statement, and is in comparison to eligible earnings that the driver in Standard Mode would earn for the same trip.
Okay, what do you think of the highlighted part?
I think they are going, as I said before, I think they are going to give drivers a lovely 5% discount when it comes to pay. So that means you got a 5% pay cut. And for those who are in Advantage Mode, hey, guess what? You're making normal rate of what you were making before. So are you going to be making anything more? Nope. You're actually just going to be paid 5% less. You're saving yourself from 5% pay cut. Let's call it spade a spade.
Does this sound, actually, I just talked to Bloomberg yesterday. You know, they watch one of our videos. You know, the shaving bonus video?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then how we busted him and it cost him millions and millions of dollars. Then drivers got all this money, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So they go like, You're like a sleuth. I go, no, bro. I go, we chase their tails. We keep them on the ground. We don't fuck around. So they're doing an article about that. Doesn't this sound exactly like that?
This channel is controlled opposition. I want my money trucks. So shut the
fuck up.
Okay. Everything is a fucking conspiracy. Whoop the fucking dude.
No cussing today. No cussing.
Oh, I already screwed that. Who cares?
So doesn't this highlighted section sound exactly like that EV shaving thing? Oh, yes. you're gonna get a dollar, but until Chris and Serge find out that you're not getting a dollar, we'll give it to you later. This sounds exactly like that. It goes, I can't read. Uber does not guarantee drivers will experience high. They don't guarantee, but they're telling you that you're gonna get 5%. First of all, Uber. 5% over what? That's that number one question. Number two question is, you stuck this in the little small print there, but I caught it.
You know what I need to do? I need to update this. What does that mean?
Like, we don't guarantee, but you're going to get 5% anyway.
I need to update this. Introduce, instead of Advantage and Standard Mode, it's got to be Normal Rate Mode and Pay Cut Mode.
Okay, I'll take that.
That's what it's got to be, because you as pay cut mode, or aka standard mode, you're just making 5% less than what you were making before this kicks in.
You know, the other thing that little birdies tell me, Chris, before they introduce this Advantage versus Standard Mode, they come into the city and cut the fares by 5%, you know, boil the frog slowly, kind of a little thing, and then they make it look like they're giving you the extra 5%. What do you think about that? Do you think that's happening?
That's called boiling the frog slowly. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to be up in arms saying, oh, I can't believe they just cut my pay again.
Yeah. 5% over what?
Any way you squeeze driver pay, 100%. So yeah,
I think that's why they're rolling this out
in different markets, because all it is going to do is say, oh, you're going to be in normal pay mode, and then you're going to be in pay cut mode. Which one do you want to be in?
I was like very curious about this. So Uber, take a screenshot of this and, you know, send me an email. Like, what does that mean? First of all, 5% over what? Because we don't have a rate card, and this, like, what? So you get the 5%, but it's not a guarantee we get a 5%. I'm not sure, Uber. This looks fishy, smells fishy to me. This smells very fishy. So we're going to do the TEST.
Well, you know the saying, if it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out how big the duck is, bro. Yeah,
I mean? I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, we're going to have to do the TEST just to figure out whether it's, you know, truly the difference that they're saying between the two. But,
can you spell more perfect union?
but the other part of the TEST that you got to do is a ride that comes in that's the exact same ride, you know, from a month ago, from 2 weeks ago, from a year ago, and put it in with the ride post tomorrow and see the difference and pay for that.
Yeah.
I know you got all your screenshots.
I actually can do that. I'll just go screen record today, a bunch of trips, right? And then tomorrow kicks in, and then I can do that as well.
You can't do that because they're already cutting the pay. They're going a percent each week, right? So yeah. They're boiling the frog slowly. So gotcha. LA, they announced it, what, 5 weeks ago, I bet?
Yeah.
They could do, today we're lowering the pay by a percent. Then the next week we're doing by another percent. The next week we're doing by another percent. So that dollar ride that dollar per ride that you're getting, now it's down to 95 cents per ride, per dollar. So that's exactly what they're doing. So they're boiling the frog slowly. So it doesn't look like any change, but in reality, that's what I'm saying. You got all the screenshots from your rides. So go back a year right around your house or a common ride that you've had, going to LAX or something. And then, check what the pay would be, a couple months ago, last month.
All right, we can do that.
2 weeks ago.
More importantly, I want to see this 5% difference. Like, I'm sure in the chat, people are going like 0%, 5%, whatever. But it's not AR. So we need to find a bunch of standard drivers, maybe in couple of weeks to a month, once this thing settles down a little bit, we'll find a bunch of standard drivers and a bunch of advantage drivers. And we'll do the TEST. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about, are you worried about AVs? So actually when Sergio had sent me,
You better be.
Well, to a point. But when Sergio sent the topic list for today over, I decided to put a poll up. So we'll discuss the poll. But an interesting article came out from BI, Business Insider, and it was by Alex Bitter saying Uber drivers aren't worried about the company's driverless car plans and who's going to handle tune-ups. So pretty interesting article.
Look who's here. The Iron Man of Boston right here. He's taking a vacation in Brazil.
Oh, nice.
Rafael. He's the man. He's the 3K man week after week. Anyway.
Well, enjoy Brazil.
That's right.
I mean, it's their winter, but enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's still beautiful, though. Let's be real.
Yeah, man. He drives hard and plays hard. But are you worried? Are you worried, Chris, that AVs are going to...
I am not worried about AVs because I'm going to just put a fucking cone on it.
Okay. Alex, good friend of BI, did this article. And he asked to talk to a bunch of drivers. And it seems like... they're not worried as much. Now, I'm not worried as much either, but I am worried. I mean, about these people said Uber drivers aren't worried about companies' driverless car plans. And they said, who's going to handle the tune-ups? Drivers, these cars are EVs. They don't need tune-ups. However, I was talking to Chris.
You're going to need tires because EVs go through tires much quicker. You're still going to need to service the cars because they're going to get dinged up and all that stuff. But are you really going to go from being a driver to a mechanic? I don't see the connection there.
No, I don't see it either.
But that's telling people to go learn a code. Real popular back. That's like the same exact. Oh, go learn a code. Really?
Yeah. But okay. You know what we were talking in the green room with you, right? We were talking about it before the show. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say anything yet, but I'm working on something really, really interesting, and I want to do this before I quit. I really do.
I definitely put that at the high end of interested for sure. So stay tuned for that.
We will talk about that when I have more substantive information about that, because I think it will definitely benefit the driver community. Definitely. So, but going back to this article, Uber, and so we did the poll, by the way. Go respond to the poll. It's about this subject. Are you worried about AVs or not? Chris, I know for a fact this, okay? So, Tesla Robotaxi is testing in Austin.
Yep.
Waymo and Uber have a sweetheart deal in Austin. I have a few drivers in Austin that said business has collapsed for them. They're Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, and they are making 50% less because These Waymos and robotaxis are just zipping around, and the business has really, truly collapsed. Now, it may be a little seasonal. It was middle of summer, Austin, whatever. But they're saying these are drivers that drove last year there as well in the middle of summer without these cars. And Waymo only supposedly has only 100 cars in Austin in a geofenced area. And they said, but they placed the cars in an area where all the trips are, where it surges and things like that. And they go like, we're dead. We're dead. So it is hurting their business just with 100 cars. Imagine more cars. So Uber's driverless car partnership with Lucid and Nuro, we're going to talk about that next topic. Ride-hailing drivers said Uber will need to address the technology's limitations and costs. Yeah, unit economics are not there yet, but they're definitely going to get there. And Uber's aiming to have autonomous vehicles in a U.S. city in 2026. Uber drivers are waiting to see the company's future driverless cars successfully dodge potholes before they start looking for new jobs. Listen, drivers, this is reality. This rideshare thing is not a career, okay? That's why we always say prepare for your plan B, learn something else. I wrote a beautiful article. It's on our newsletter. Please go check it out. In fact, an article regarding this specific topic, how you can, you know, lessen the damage that's coming your way. I think Samantha is probably going to put that up sometime this week. And this is a real threat, folks. You can't just put your head in the sand and say, it's okay, nothing is going to happen. Maybe if you're in a rural area or something, but if you're in a, you know, densely populated city center, these things are coming. But my plans are going to make you benefit from this. I'm telling you, I'm going to do that. And Chris liked the idea, by the way. So,
mm-hmm. I do. I think it's a great idea. But yeah. Obviously, due to certain issues, you can't really see anything at the moment. So I understand why. But, when it comes down to it, yes, I think there is going to be some upset, you know, in the near future. But for the average person in the average area who's not in these, you know, let's call them test markets right now. If you're not in these test markets, then I think you're going to have a little bit longer of a period to be able to, you know, transition into something. For those where, you know, they're already LA being one, San Francisco, Atlanta now coming on board, Austin, all of these particular areas that are test markets, especially Austin, you got to start looking like doing your pivoting immediately. Because you've got, you know, people who are testing it. So they're checking it out. The question is, will it become a self-checkout lane or will it be, you know, somebody who's there when it comes down to it? So I don't know. I don't know how to gauge the perception of what's going to happen. I think, though, the reality is, probably the younger generation is going to be more easily making the switch versus, you know, millennial and older. I don't think they're going to be making the switch as quick. So I think that's going to help a little bit, but the reality is, as we said, after Herbivore, you know, you got to have another plan. You got to have maybe a couple of plans in, just to make the transition easy, you know, so then that way you could follow up on something that you enjoy, you know, follow your dreams, revisit what it was, you know, when you were a kid that you're like, oh, I really want to do this. And you never did it, you know, follow up on that, make it into a reality or something. And then you can slowly transition off of a rideshare. Or, you know, you could figure something else out. Who knows? Whatever it might be, you definitely want to be ahead of the curve in this particular situation. And then for the foreseeable future, as long as rideshare is relevant, you know, you can always do it as part-time extra income on top of whatever you're trying to transition into. So you can definitely, you know, do whatever you got to do in order to make things happen. But, you know, you don't want, as Sergio said, you don't want to have your head in the sand when all of a sudden something happens and, hey, look, we got 300 more cars coming in board and great. Now your demand went down to 20%. Now you're making, for every $100 you were making, now you're only making $20.
Yeah. So I just checked actually on my phone. That article that I wrote is going to come out, but I wrote already one. It's on our blog. Please go check it out. How you can pivot. how what you can do to pivot and things like that and suggestions. And please go check it out. Because, look, you know, a lot of people take it for granted until they lose it, and then business goes down, and all you do is complain. It's not going to get anywhere. And I understand this is your livelihood, but this train has left the station. This is going to happen, folks. And these things work 22 hours a day, and they're going to cut down on business. I mean, and that's just without the demand going down if we have a recession, slowdown, or whatever. But you have to be prepared for it because, again, this is not a career. This rideshare driving is not a career. And but anyway, we're going to do everything we can.
A career, meaning, you know, you do the transition to private rides as well. That, if you're able to do something like that, then, and like I say, especially with the costs of these things, except for maybe the robotaxi, but again, tests. So it's not going to stay at that for very long. But, you know, Waymo costs more. And at Uber and Lyft are already at the breaking point for a lot of people. So again, like I've said the last few weeks, if you enjoy driving and you are personable and, you know, can create your own clientele, yeah, you probably could do a very good, successful business and make it a full-time hustle when it comes down to it. So it's just a matter of your priorities, what you need to do. But yeah, always make sure you're paying attention to what's going on, and don't be like, oh, you know, hey, I got plenty of time. Because before you know it, you're going to look back and be like, holy crap. And there they are.
Yeah. Technology is advancing fast with these things. They're getting better and better every day. And now, you know, Elon threw his hat into the ring with, you know, robotaxis in Austin. And those are just regular, you know, Model Ys that they're doing trips with. They're not the actual robotaxi that you guys saw maybe 6 months ago when he announced it with the two gullwing doors and two seaters. Yeah, I mean, look, you guys need to, and again, this channel is going to go away, I'm pretty sure. If they're all AVs, what are we going to do, right? You know, one thing that I like, though, Chris, is Lyft is at least optically trying to look right about this. You know, they have a, you know, they're launching cars and autonomous vehicles in Atlanta this summer, and they have autonomous vehicle forum for drivers to get their feedback. But I think they're doing it the wrong way. I think what I'm thinking is going to really, really make sure the drivers who are willing to, you know, are taken care of. So, you know, I don't want to say more than that, but Uber is not doing a thing about it. Nothing. They don't even talk about it. All they do is keep announcing these deals as if the drivers did not exist for 12, 15 years on their platform and still pay the salaries of these people. But, you know, but that's Uber though. Uber is a little bit more cutthroat than Lyft is. Lyft seems more human than Uber. So anyway, but that's where we are. Yep.
Well, either way, let's talk about Uber. Let's talk about how they're investing $300 million in Lucid for AVs.
Another $300 million, yeah. They're doing with, Lucid and 6-year deal, 20,000 cars. You guys may not think it's a lot, but it's a lot. And obviously, so Lucid stock that morning got a bump. It went actually up 50% from 2 to 3. Shameless plug. I have a finance channel on YouTube at Sergio Avedian. Please go subscribe. You will learn a lot. We talked about that actually. And I have a chat group that I run on the channel. You guys will learn a lot. And that could be your pivot. You know, learn to trade, learn to invest, and learn all these about finance, learn about these things. And I'm doing it on the other channel. I don't do it here, obviously. But Lucid is the car manufacturer. Uber obviously has the network and the platform. And Nuro, they're going to run on the Nuro system, which is the autonomous vehicle hardware software part of it. And, you know, one thing to me, you know, is so clear that Uber is doing it all over the globe, right? Uber is doing it with WeRide and Pony AI and now Lucid and Nuro. They have all these partnerships. They're just going all into this autonomous vehicle thing because they sold their actual autonomous vehicle arm when Dara showed up because it was a money loser, draining money. But now they're scrambling to get in. And I, as much as people don't think, you know, Waymos and robo-taxis, Teslas are a threat to Uber's existence. They are. They definitely are. And so Uber is just scrambling to just get in the game. There were actually rumors about a couple of weeks ago that Travis is getting back in the game with Uber's help. They're going to buy Pony AI's U.S. Arm to launch their own brand of robo-taxis. You know, this part of it doesn't kind of make sense to me, because one part of it, Chris, that you know, I'm a finance guy, so I'm thinking about this. So Uber's business model for these 12, 14 years of their existence has been a zero asset business model, meaning you bring the tool to work. It's your car. Yep. They don't have depreciation. They don't have maintenance costs. They don't have financing costs. They don't have insurance costs. They don't have any of that. You drivers were bringing your tool to work. Well, now that's, you know, the business model is changing from a zero asset business model to a vertically integrated business model, meaning you own the asset now. Now, Uber, you're going to feel like what we're feeling as drivers, okay? Now you're going to own the asset. Now you have to clean it. Now you have to service it. Now you have to charge it. Now you have to buy insurance on it. Now you have to do all these things. And this shift in the business model, I don't know. I haven't decided if it's going to totally fuck up Uber or help Uber. You know, my thought process is changing a business model that has worked for them to get them to be a $180 billion market cap company. The threat is real for Uber. I mean, I'm talking to a few analysts and, you know, I do some calls with them and they're saying like, what do you think is going to happen here? I go, I'm not sure yet, but, now the business model is changing and that could be detrimental to Uber because Uber has no cost, no car cost. They have other costs. They have 33,000 employees, overpaid ones. They have AWS servers. They have the brand and this and that. But now they're going to own cars, billions and billions of dollars worth of cars. Because to create the same amount of density, you need inventory. You need cars. They never own a car until today. So what do you think, Chris? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think it's them scrambling because the writing's on the wall. You know, when it comes to what we've talked about with passengers, you know, paying a premium and, you know, starting to jump ship. I also see that Waymo is, you know, taking leaps and bounds and they need them right now. Like Waymo needs Uber right now, but pretty soon they're not going to need them and they're going to outgrow them. And the moment that happens, they're going to shut them like yesterday's business. And I'm not going to say anything more with that part, but then you have Tesla coming in and, you know, the robotaxi, which Elon has been talking about that for years now at this point. So I really think, though, that he's going to be looking at more fleet-based you know, personal ownership cars. You might have like taxis and stuff like that where it's going to be the whole, but how he's going to roll it out, who knows what's exactly going to happen there. But yeah, I think if Uber doesn't shape up, they're going to be, you know, just writing on the wall at that point. And exactly what Blockbuster was to Netflix and exactly what the taxi cab industry, which is, you know, tried holding on as long as it could. And they kind of made a little bit of a comeback overall because taxis are now cheaper than Uber and Lyft. So, you know, I think that Uber with their infinite wisdom, let's say it, I don't think they're going to be too kindly with this when it comes to if they can't get in board and, you know, make the transition happen. I don't think they're going to be doing well much after that.
Yeah. And the Lucid cars, I mean, Lucids are not cheap cars, right? It kind of did not make sense to get in bed with Lucid, but they're scrambling, man. And again, you're going to say, oh, 6 years, 20,000 cars, not that many cars. Well, every car, you know, can do up to probably 30 trips a day, maybe more, because they don't have the 12-hour clock that drivers have, human drivers have. It's going to take away some business. I mean, there's no ifs and buts about it. But this combination kind of did not make sense to me. It seemed like spaghetti to the wall, the usual, you know, let's see which one sticks. Lucids are not cheap cars. Lucids are expensive, unless they're going to build a car from scratch for Uber.
How much are they?
100 grand. 100 grand, bro.
Okay. So it's pretty much the same thing as a Waymo.
Yeah. They're expensive cars. But anyway, so.
And then, look, yeah, you're going to have a massive depreciating asset.
Massive. Yeah, that's what I was saying, right? Zero asset business model to this business model, right? Yeah. I mean.
You're going to have a massive, unlike Tesla, who's taking the opposite approach. They're saying, yeah. Hey, we're going to do, you know, cheaper car than Model 3. You know, so who knows what's going to happen there? But that's the only way it's going to make it financially viable is to have a low cost for the vehicle itself. And then the other side of the coin is when it comes down to it, what about liability? You know, that's a huge aspect that's completely untapped and unknown at this point, because where are you going to put the liability? Currently, for a driver, if they fuck up, it's on them. But on these EVs, who is it going to fall onto? Is it going to fall into the programming? Is it going to fall onto, you know, somebody else? Is it going to fall on the owner of the car? Where is that going to be? Is it all of the parties that are participating within that? Who knows?
Yeah. No, I think you know, it's going to be an interesting couple of years coming up with all these deals, and, you know, we'll see. But we need to get in the game, Chris. We need to get in the game. We need to have skin in the game, sir. That's what we need to do. So
maybe. Let's see. I still won't ride one. I want a driver. Or actually, I just want to drive myself. Let's be real.
Okay. I know you do. Yeah.
I like driving more than anything.
Yeah.
Loved it from the moment I started all the way through, and not going to stop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Well, no, right. You know, some people are like that. I don't know.
Speaking of, let's move on. Let's talk about Tesla, as we've mentioned with the robotaxi, and where they're testing in Austin. They're giving a wonderful pictograph of exactly what they are telling the industry. And for those who are watching it, you're probably laughing, and we're going to show it in just a moment. If you have children around, you may not want to watch. You may not want them around, or maybe your passengers, but you'll get a good laugh out of it. So just a pre-warning there. Yeah. So this is now their robo-taxi geofence. What does
this
that
is
look
real,
like?
Folks. This is real, okay? This is real. So don't shoot the messenger. Elon has a sense of humor.
It is. I mean, well, think about it. Well, if you look at all of the cars that they produced, why do you have the Model Y? Why do you have the Model S? Why do you have the Model 3? Why do you have the Model X? What does that spell? Sexy.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's definitely done things like that in the past. And, you know, it definitely makes sense now, especially now that they've went from the cost of being $420 to $690. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, so one guy said middle finger to all of us. I think that looks a lot different than the middle finger, sir. I think it looks something
walk
like
tall and carry a big stick.
and this is no joke. This is real. And and Elon, with his wisdom, off the spectrum wisdom, he came up with this geofence. When the geofence wasn't like this, they extended the geofence now.
The geofence was like the top of the tip down, and then they put the two sides on it in Southern Austin.
Elon, like, you know, he did that, and then, you know, obviously he's competing with Waymo there, and I think Waymo's geofence is pretty much the same as his, but not the shape, obviously. I was like chuckling when I saw this, and I go like, yeah, we should put that on Facts and Funnies, and you know, and,
well, yeah. You know what they say, whoever's got the biggest makes the rules.
Okay, well, I guess Elon does.
So he laid it out there. He says Uber, Lyft, Waymo, what you got?
You know, Elon, how many kids does Elon have, like 12, 14 or something?
35,
something like that. Just like from like 5-6 different women.
I think he just had another one too.
It's appropriate, man. Like the geofence should look like, you know, his unit. So
you know what though? Here's the thing. If I was in Elon's shoes, I would do the exact same thing. So
I mean, who's gonna fucking argue with Elon? even Trump is quitting on Elon now. So I'm like, hey. But anyway, so we thought that was kind of funny, and then hope you guys got a chuckle out of it. So we are at that part of the episode where we're going to talk about this article just dropped.
Yep. But before we do, Before you do, we do want to kind of talk about this on our driver's segment. So we're going to put the link out now. So if you get that link, you can pull it. If you want to come on the show, we're going to be talking about how to pick cherries in even when there's not really that many cherries that might be picking. So
we have the master
grab the link if you want to come on.
We have LA's best cherry picker here. I see him, Mr. Gambit. So, Mr. Gambit, grab the link and come on up and see. Tell us, give us some advice about how to cherry pick in 2025. Because people go, sir, how can I pick cherries when there are no cherries? Look, cherry picking doesn't have cherries. To be what you guys think it is. You know, in every city, cherry picking is different. So, I'm telling you guys, you know, first of all, there is no question, unequivocally, no question, that cherry pickers earn more than ants. There's no question about that, statistically and every which way. And they drive less miles. Their dollars per mile is higher. Their dollars per hour is higher. And this is the article that I wrote for our blog. Please go check it out. www.therideshareguy.com. It's free. Free newsletter. You'll get my articles. I'm writing more and more now because I'm enjoying kind of writing more. And the art of cherry picking, how smart Uber and Lyft drivers maximize earnings in 2025. So, you know, without going into reading the whole thing, if you want to increase your hourly earnings, reduce stress, and avoid getting burned out behind the wheel, you've got to be thinking like a cherry picker. It's not about accepting every ride. It's about accepting the right ride. In this article, I'll break down exactly what cherry picking means. So what is cherry picking? Cherry picking is the practice of only accepting trips that are worth your time and trouble. So, folks, you're either one or you're not one. I don't think you can. Well, some people say they're a hybrid, depending on the market that they're in. If they're offered, you know, ride challenges or quests and they become ants, they take everything, short ones, whatever not. But I thought I put everything I know about cherry picking in this article because we have newbies who read, you know, probably the blog and they go like, they should learn, they should know about this. Then they can make their own choice. You can do whatever you want to do. But to me, you must not accept every single trip. So why cherry picking 2025? Upfront pricing hides the truth, right? Riders pay more, but the drivers often get less than half. Dead miles kill your profits, right? You go on a nature hike, long pickups and long trips, no return. You're a dead man walking, dead man driving, more like it. Surge is less predictable and time is money. So we'll go to the next one. Smart drivers know the difference between working hard and working smart. So we'll go to the next one. And then we'll have you guys come on and talk about your own cherry picking or anting practices. The tools of the trade. So one, a good phone mount and dual apps. You must do that because if there is no cherries on one, there may be cherries on the other app. You must dual app, period. Tracking apps like GigU make it easier, or Maximo, right, on Android, help automate acceptance filters and things like that. This is what I did when I first started, Chris, a mental map. I actually went a step further. What I did is I took screenshots every half hour, morning rush hour, afternoon rush hour, weekends, and you just create this model in your head saying that, you know, for example, in Santa Monica, between 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. is going to surge. Because surge is not a mythical creature. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. Patiently, you wait, and you will get your cherry. Know your city like a chessboard. Understand which neighborhoods have consistent demand, where the money is, and where not to get stranded. Suburbs, rural zones, airports with limited return trips. Next one. God, that's small. How cherry pick, okay. So these are some of my guidelines, but again, depending on your city, it'll be different. Set your minimum thresholds. Number two, watch for red flags. What are some red flags? There are some offers you should avoid on site. Trips under $3 or $5. I get a lot of these $3 trips. The reason you don't accept this is because, not because $3 to $5 may not be a good trip. It may be just half a mile pickup, half a mile drop off for $3. But you're going to spend 10 minutes doing that. The point is you're missing an opportunity. You're missing the opportunity cost is very high on doing a $3 trip. That's not going to get you anywhere, okay? Long trips out of town with no return demand. Sketchy areas, we know about that. Riders with 4.6 rating or lower, and you know, shared pool rides. It may be worth it once in a long moon. Number three, use trip radar strategically. Not every trip, as much as I say, where trips go to die. Not every trip, because a lot of stuff now is on trip radar, especially with the standard and advantage. Right, if you're standard, you're going to get nothing but trip radar, and you may have a worthy trip there to do, but only accept trip radar if you're quick enough with the whack-a-mole, to get matched, and chase short trips in hard surge zones. I hope you guys are doing that. And so why cherry pick? You make more per hour, you stay close to the action, you avoid long deadhead returns, especially profitable during morning rush, evening commute, weekend, nightlife. Next one step five, skip the airport queue. Now, we did an article with New York Times how people go wait 4 hours at the airport queue and then potentially get knocked to the back of the grid. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't go wait there 4 hours. Airport rides seem glamorous, but there is strong bonus attached, or, you know, you're going to get a trip and you at least accept an airport ride to go to a trip so you can get a rematch and come out of it with an airport trip, as opposed to just go to the queue and wait. And is cherry picking bad for your AR? Absolutely, yes, but acceptance rates doesn't matter anymore in most cities anyway. 25% threshold, that's not a high bar to jump over. Uber and Lyft cannot deactivate you for low acceptance rate in 2025. And so stop worrying about missing out. Stop worrying about FOMO. There is no FOMO in driving, just like stock trading, or pleasing the algorithm. If the ride doesn't make sense, skip it. And next one. Okay, what about temporarily shadow banned? We know Uber declines it. Uber says they don't do it. They don't throttle you. They do. If you decline a few, that's why you multi-app. You get off Uber for 10, 15 minutes, let the algo reset. In fact, force close on your app, and then go clean your cache, by the way, so it forgets about it that you did all these bad things by declining 30 trips in a row. So that's what you do. So bonus tip. My bonus tip is going to be, a lot of drivers, Chris, use the destination filter to go home at the end of the day, right? They have two in one app and two on the other app. So you have four DFs. What are the odds of you hitting a bullseye? And most of the time, by the way, drivers put a DF right at their house address. You know, for 10 years, I have never put my address as the DF target or as the ending point. I've always put 5 miles ahead or past my house, because then you're giving the algorithm more space to just kind of wiggle itself if it's going to give you trips. But you definitely don't put the bullseye as your house, number one, when you're going home. But more importantly, use the DF. If you're in a surge zone, if you're working late at night, if it's buzzing and if there's a lot of demand, use your DF in a 3 mile, 4 mile, 5 mile length, pick up and drop off areas, right? And then have the DF keep you there. Forget about it. Just dead mile home at the end of the day. But the amount of money you're going to make in that hot zone and DF, basically you're forcing the algorithm to feed you short trips that are beneficial to you. Burn all your DFs. Don't go home with all four DFs, or don't go just set the DF and say, okay, I want to go home now, take me home. And then I get an email complaining, oh, I sent it to home, but it sent me the opposite direction. Because most people don't even know how to use the DF. There is two, three different kinds of DF on the apps. And here it is, last but not least, the mindset of a cherry picker. Cherry picking isn't just a strategy. It's a mindset. You got to have that mindset. And one of the best cherry pickers in Boston is here. And Matt is here. And he cherry picks the F out of it. Okay. So it means acting like a business owner, not a robot on demand. And final word, final sentence of my take is, so drive smart, stay sharp, and never forget, you work with the apps, not for them. So articles like this with brilliant freaking tips are in our newsletter now. They have always been, but now I'm writing more and more. So go subscribe to the free newsletter.
Subscribe. Yeah, link for that is in the description, so you can check that out. Definitely good. Good stuff there, Sergio.
Thank you, man.
But biggest thing, the biggest takeaway out of all of that, even if you're going to be an ant or, you know, accept everything, you need to know your costs associated with driving. If you don't know your costs, you have no idea what you're doing when it comes down to it. So you need to figure out your costs. You need to understand them and know what it is. Every time your wheels are moving, how much that's costing you.
Yeah, that, and we have something coming from GigU that you free that you guys are going to love. Actually, I worked on it with them last week. Hopefully, we'll have it on launch by next week. Chris, you're going to love this shit. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
So this gentleman says, I never saw Destiny. What do you mean? What are you talking about? It's in your app, bro. On the Lyft app, it's on the lower right-hand corner, the two lines on the side. And on the Uber app, it's on the upper right-hand corner with the hourglass-looking thing. You got to click on that. Of course, you have two on each app. And if you're Diamond or whatever, you get one more, I think, on Uber and Lyft. So, anyway. Yeah. All right. Now, come on. Muhammad, not you. Anybody but Muhammad.
I'm surprised. What the hell? Nobody came in. Everybody's like, oh, I don't.
Well, come on. Tell us how you cherry pick in your city. If you're a cherry picker or if you're an ant.
Everything. This is Gambit, brand new news to me.
You come on and tell us how you do it. Come on, man. Matt, somebody. you're all proud. You know, look.
What happened to Matt's corner this time?
I didn't find anything this week. But the point is, all this, you know, I'm looking at the comments. They all are proud of their 5% ARs, right? So you must be cherry picking. Why don't you come on and tell us what you're doing? Let's go. Grab the link. It's right there. Let's go. Oh, there you go. Taker's tokens. We got one.
All right.
How
you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good. Taker's tokens. Where are you from? What city are you in? What kind of car you drive? All that good stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got you on the bottom here. It's confusing me. Okay. I'm in Chicago, and I rent a car through Lyft.
Okay.
I have to because my car died. I pay about $260 for the rental. I have caps on me because I have a disability claim and yada, yada.
Okay.
With the cherry picking, I use Lyft because they charge you for personal miles. It's like $25 for 20 miles. So I just figured that out and used that for my, I used the GigU app and put that minimum in for the mileage. I don't know what to put in for the other ones, but I'd never pick anybody under 4.9. And
how do you like the GigU app?
It's wonky sometimes. Like I'll be in the middle of a ride, I'll have the map on and it'll give me notifications for $494 per hour or $59 per minute or mile or something. And it works sometimes and it doesn't work other times.
It works. I think like 85% of the time it works well. And then it does get confused once in a while, but they're working on it. So when you're cherry picking in Chicago, but you're renting, so you really don't have too much of a choice, but right, you got to take trips to pay for the rental and make some money. So Do you cherry pick or do you not cherry pick?
Oh, I cherry pick.
Okay.
Yeah, so
How do you do
it? I have a red line for, I don't go south of the 290 corridor because that's, you know, a gangland area in some of the sections. I don't go out to the suburbs. I avoid tolls because they rob us on the tolls. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just kind of figure it out in my head and I go by like the minutes and the miles.
Do you have some sort of do you leave your house with like a daily dollar goal in the morning or are you I'm assuming you're a full-time driver?
Part-time.
Okay. Do you like, go, okay, I'm going to make $100 today. I can make it in 3 hours or I can make it in 8 hours or whatever. Do you go with that mindset out there?
It's more of a weekly. $350 a week is the max that I can make.
Okay. And what does that make sense mathematically, though? Because you have the 250 plus the gas for the car, and you're just basically working to pay off the car, pay for the car?
Essentially, because okay. of the caps that I have for the disability claim, I can't make over $1,600 a month.
I got you.
So I just divided that and I figured it all out. But
so you just have a car, you're just making sure the Lyft is paying for the rental of the car. Well, you're driving, you're doing work, though, I mean.
Right. It gets me out of the house because I was isolated for so long with the back injury.
Okay.
And I wasn't getting out. So I get out and I'm able to interact with people. I have wheels to get to the doctor appointments because my car died right as I was applying for Uber. And so I needed wheels. So it gives me wheels. It gives me that interaction. It's more of a self satisfying thing for me than it is, you know, a moneymaker.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks.
Stay healthy. Be well. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you. All right. And then we have Mr. Gambit.
Here comes Mr. Gambit.
What's up, guys? You know, I'm going to show you some palm trees for the guys who don't know what these palm trees look around the country. Here we are. Here's some palm trees in California.
Where are you at, bro?
I'm here. Where are you at? I'm in our beautiful city of Inglewood, my man. You know, we got palm trees everywhere.
Okay.
So what's up there, guys? Now, the cherry picking things you got to do, you know for sure, when you're doing the cherry picking, patience is a virtue. Don't never tell yourself, I got to click that thing because somebody's going to get it first. Look at the numbers that you want. I always say, what do I want to get for the trips that I'm going to take? And how much am I going to get for that trip I'm going to take? That means when you do that, you're already in the head of the game saying, I want to get at least $20 for the next trip. And if I can get that $20 in the next 5 to 6 miles, I'll do it. But don't just go, I got to click on a $3 trip. Somebody's going to steal it from me. The minute you start clicking on those trips.
Mr. Gambit, do you agree? Do you agree that when you're doing that $3 trip, you have opportunity costs, right? You may be missing on the $20 trip.
Right. You're going to be missing an opportunity. What happens is, Sergio, they catch you in the boredom moment. When they delay your getting trips or getting a good, decent trip, people get bored. And they will click that trip. And I've done that for you. And I'm sure everybody else has done that too. When you're bored, the app, remember, we're working against an AI that's programmed to know what we want and says, okay, he wants that bigger trip. Well, let's give him this one here and see, will he take it? And if you take that little one, they're going to send you more of those. The more of those you get, whether it be day or night, you're talking to a guy who's worked that 24-hour cycle, morning, noon, and night. Just like you said, you got to know that at times when it surges, even when they don't want to surge it, they got to surge it. And they can't play with the federal ground. Remember, the airports are federal grounds. You can't stall thousands of people while they try to take the most money for those trips. When they do it at the airport, they know for sure some of these trips got to be priced right to get these people from waiting around there. When they play that game of stalling people at the airport, you'll see people complaining, waiting for 45 minutes to an hour to get a trip because they run out of ants at the airport. That's when they got to price it right or you strand trips. When guys who know how to make money, they wait and get the right amount of money of $2 to $3 per mile to do that trip. If you concentrate like that and get back to the airport, you make money. But the minute you start telling yourself, I'll go this 10 miles for, you know, $10 and it takes me 45 minutes, they know they got a sucker already. And then if you keep doing
Look, I consider you the premier cherry picker in Los Angeles because I know you and I've seen enough of your screenshots. Tell me, you know, is there any, I mean, I read some of the article, but give us some tips about cherry picking in general in Los Angeles. Look, every city is different, first of all, right?
Well, every city is
different. I'm gonna ask this question that gets asked me a lot, right? Okay. Lately, anyway, it's at least last year or so.
Okay.
Like a surge. If there are no cherries to pick, what cherry picking are you talking about? Can you answer that?
Well, remember this. This is the key to knowing. When you don't think there's a cherry pick and you don't see a radar on your screen and you don't see the price jump up on your screen, don't forget, guys, the cherry's still there. The companies just take the cherries from you and you don't know it's because you get used to taking the garbage trip. You think, I'm in a busy area. I should get this cherry. Wait a minute. The prices are being, you know, cut. And then why don't you just pretend you're the person getting the ride and you click on your thing and said, let me get me a ride going from, let's say, from downtown, you know, Torrance going to the crypto.com arena. That means you know what it normally pays and a standard normal pay is anywhere from $45 to $65. But Uber tries to get that $32 and pay a driver maybe 26 or 25. Well, that customer will always pay that 65 to 75 to up to $100 sometime.
Yeah.
You may not know this, but this is a price Uber knows, and it's already programmed in the pie. The minute you say, I'm going to take it at this price, I don't care what Uber makes. Who cares what Uber makes? But you know what you make. And once you tell yourself, I got to make this at this busy time because I'm dealing with LA traffic. You can't play a game with this traffic telling yourself, I'm going to take this low-cost ride when you know you may be stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. The minute you take that $27 ride, that means you're going to make $27 in an hour and a half. So the minute you just look at the number and not the time, you're already the sucker that they want you to drive. They said, look, if you don't went down and got stuck in this traffic, they don't care. I can tell you for sure, from Santa Monica to downtown rush hour every day, it takes an hour and a half to get downtown at 5 o'clock. The minute you say, I'll take this little 16-mile trip for $22 and Uber's going to charge $65, you're doing the trip for $22. Uber's going to take $65. And that's why you're already losing the game the minute you come out and says, I'll sit in traffic for an hour and a half or $22. And that's the
and
game.
What is your – and you don't have to give up, obviously, your secrets. But what is your thresholds for accepting trips? Do you go by the hour? Do you go by, you know, by the mile? And what do you do
when you're doing it right? A 20 hour, you know, maximum drive time per week, you should average $44 to $52 per hour. That's a fair amount you can try to earn with 20 hours in a week. When you tell yourself, let them average me down to 18. Remember, you got costs on your car. The minute you're driving for that $18, that means half of that money could be going to the car. And a maintenance cost or something. That means you're already suckered out of the money. And they know that. And some guys get suckered out of the money. Trust me, I'm a guy. I've taken this test for you. So if you want to test it yourself, try doing it all day and see if you get suckered into $18 an hour. Because they'll say all day you're going to be making 32. But you know what you're making. Don't be a sucker and think that you're making 32. When they basically get you in the game and you're making $18, you're not making 32 no matter what they say on the app.
Well,
our drivers make 32.
You know, I'm glad you're here because I get asked a lot of these questions. Like the resistance that I get from cherry picking, you know, they go, look, man, I'm only driving for 20 hours a week. I got to make money. I can't just sit in my car and, you know, pick my nose and you know, decline 10 to make one. What do you say to those people? And which I do understand the question, by the way. I'm like, it's valid.
Well, okay, Sergio, when they're asking that, that's the desperation in the world we live in today.
Okay.
Between tariffs, things costing more, just, you know, the inflation itself. Not everybody sees the inflation, but when you know it's costing you more to go get a burger or go get, you know, a hot dog or something, that means you got to factor that in of your day and saying, well, all right, what am I making? It just costs more to do business some places. And that, you know, in LA, it costs us more all the time. I've been here a long time. It costs us more just to operate. And you can't go, you know, 1 mile by that. It costing you something somewhere. So the minute you tell yourself, I'll just do whatever because, you know, I got to put food on the table. Yeah, I understand that. Now, remember, when this all started, you know, years ago, and I've been with them for over 10 years, when this started years ago, the fares were up and they were exploring. This was all investment dollars. Now, they're looking at taking care of the stockholders. And the reason they don't talk about us drivers anymore is because they don't care. They've already factored in if we got 8 million drivers we don't have to care about. Nowhere. Yeah. So in our world, we want to care about those robots. And when the robots basically take over enough of the runs, especially the cheap runs, they're looking at a profit margin. That's why we're not spoke of. And they're all saying, I'm still surprised why the lawsuits are still coming. They know they've been doing us wrong. And this is what's still been happening, man, is that they get away with it. Nobody does anything. It's like, okay, you know, if we don't pay the driver nothing and he's breaking even, so what? He's a nut who took it. We didn't make him. Remember what even our old, you know, CEO said that. We didn't force you to take the trip. Nobody told you to go buy the limo car. You're right. Nobody. Everybody got to know you buy the big car. You know, it's costing you, and that Uber or nobody else is buying that car for you. You're paying for that car. You're taking care of that car. They know that already. So basically, you got to take it upon yourself to say, all right, let me pick the best times to work. And people go, I can't work at drive. I don't work the drunk hours.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, I'm working the drunk hours because I always, when finally Jay came on and said, I'm working the drunk hours now and you get paid more. Sergio, he didn't tell me nothing new. I knew the drunk hours paid 45% more because that's when it paid more and surged. Basically, it took a lot of people.
But, you know, that's the thing, though. But that's the thing. You know, Uber sells it as flexibility and freedom and this and that. There is no flexibility and freedom. You got to fucking go where the shit is at. Otherwise, you're going to make 18 and prop 22 Sergio, money. And that's about it.
I've told you, I've worked from down this all the way to San Diego to Santa Barbara to far San Bernardino, Sergio. I've worked 24-hour cycles. Back before they were clocking and making all the drivers work, I would put that 16-hour day in and see, where's the money? Tell me what night is the money on. I used to go to Orange County every day on a Disneyland trip from Venice that always paid $65 to $75 for the driver. And Uber basically sometimes barely made anything, like a few dollars off of that. That same trip, Sergio, they will sing and they don't care what time. That same trip to Disneyland during the day can be $32. Who's going to Disneyland taking someone from LA for $32? It's like, what the hell are they thinking? Who's on crack taking these trips for $32? And people who just come on the platform may be doing that and they're taking advantage of them. That's what I mean, that when you cherry pick, you have to start with that, with the thought of, I need to pick the best trips for today. And you're only going to get 7 to 12 good juicy trips. You may take 15, you may take 20, but you want to get 7 to 10 that are paying decent to give you enough money to make it for the day. The minute you jump in the game and you don't make that, and you say, damn, I worked all day long and I barely got, you know, $110. But Uber and that platform, when you look at what the cost, remember, they took away us looking at the trips, but you look at the trips when you log in the app. Look in the app and take a look at your trips when the day's over, and you'll see what the company took in. Now, the way they get away with this, we talk about that insurance thing, Sergio. Remember that? They take all the insurance and make the trip worth the insurance cost, and we're not taking anything. The insurance is taking all the money. So if they did that and get away with it, I don't know the law like they did. I mean, they can pass whatever thing they want to inside the map. All we care about is what we put in our pockets. So with them charging as much as they want to and they're calling it an insurance, I'm like, well, if they're charging more insurance for me to do the trip, you're basically saying take the trip at your cost, and we're going to put all this money in insurance. Uber's not going to make anything, but you're going to make $5, and insurance is going to be $15. I still don't understand the math on that.
No, well, we're working on that part. But no, I mean, seriously, you're an amazing driver, obviously, and you know this inside out. And I think the desperation part plays a big role in it with what you said. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, Sergio, remember that. Let's not cut out. Remember, they got an influx of, come on to America. The door is open. Come get a green card and drive. Now, that aspect of that hit every inch of Uber's world in this country. Every city got people that came from somewhere else that could get a green card. And even when they had another job, they could still come out and drive. That helped the platform tremendously when you can come and get a green card and drive. That means as long as you specify that you're coming here and there's some harm in your country, they were giving you that green card to work. And what do you think? Uber, open arms, go rent a car, come lease a car, come take a car and drive, and put three or four people in your family to do it with you. And that just increased the size of their platform. And that's why when you talk to them and they go, Alec, they don't care. Well, Sergio, look at the numbers they got. Why should they? People were coming on this platform and it's doing the work and says, well, if they're doing the work, we're not going to say anything. And nobody says anything. And it just happens, like, okay. And that's why the math, you know, in America, we basically look at jobs and say, okay, can I make money doing this? If I can't, I got to take a break. And then you're talking to
a guy. Okay, so what do you think? Let's finish it on this note. What do you think? What do you think? Is cherry picking in 2025 still valid and should still people do it? Or should people just take everything and go home?
I'll break it down for you clearly. It's worth it for you if you got the beater car that's good quality, a good quality beater car that you've got paid for, that you get to cherry pick and not have to pay for that car and not have to have a heavy amount of insurance that you're dealing with. That means if you are dealing with a crazy insurance and you're a bad driver and it costs you too much, that means for sure you put yourself in a position that you're not going to make money in this business, find something else to do. But if your car is paid for, you get the cherry pick and not. And that's what I mean too, Sergio. When I was leasing that car, remember some of the trips I had to take even late night that they got me on. They would have trips going to downtown where during the day it would be $45, $50. And late night they say, well, look, we got drivers here. And the desperate black car drivers and limo drivers and whatever, they're taking trips in downtown for $20 and $18 in the middle of the night. And I knew the game changed then. They said, look, they know God's got to pay for these cars. And we're going to give them every little penny we can. Let's let them pay for a car. But we're going to take the bulk of the money. And that happened. That changed the game. That means that they're not worrying about their numbers. And when you're good at the financials of looking at when they say, look at what they gross, you know, this quarter. That lets me know, damn, if they gross a lot, I'm not the only guy they're doing it to. It's millions of guys across the world and country that is happening. It's like, what do? All we can do is make the money when we can. You can't force it. That means you go get a brand new car. That means you got to pay for that car. I was just lucky to be in a car and rent it. And even tried to rent them. Told them that, look, you can't just rent a car for $450 to $500 a week and give $3 trips all day and night long. The math, tell me somebody who can do math in this room right now and make that work in a week. I can't. I still can't. Don't know how to do it.
So, Mr. Gambit, let's do this. Do you want to do a behind the wheel? Because there was one audience member said, Mr. Gambit should do a behind the wheel, right? And
I tell you what, Sergio, let's talk about this in the next month. We'll come down and do lunch. I'll do a behind the wheel with you next month. We'll do that.
Okay. It's going to be on Zoom. We'll do lunch anyway. Audience member said, if Mr. Gambit wrote a book, I would buy it. There you go.
I help a lot of guys out doing this. Believe it or not, I see guys at the airport. I see guys even getting gas at the gas station. And I go, especially when I see somebody who barely speaks English, I said, do you take all your trips? And they go, yes, I take out a trip. They look at me like, I've said something wrong where they don't know they can't even take all their trips, dude. I go, what the fuck?
What's wrong with you? You take all the – what's wrong with you, you cherry pick? What are you doing?
Right, that's what I'm saying. They go, yes. They go, you don't take all the trips. They look at me like surprising. I'm like, well, no, you got to pick the better trips. They looked at me like I was speaking a different foreign language. Like, yeah. Dude, you don't take all the trips. Like, what are
you're
you
You're an alien,
man?
Bro. You can't decline trips. You got to take all those trips for those Uber Pro points and all that good stuff.
Right. But remember, Sergio, that was a time, dude. They gave a 75 trips. That was, you know, keep in mind, we had a different CEO at that time, but that was a $500 bonus, a six-pack, they had a case of Red Bull, and Subway sandwich cars. They would bring us over here to Westwood, and that's the thing they would do to us to keep us driving. They say, look, go to Subway, eat those sandwiches, and drink this Red Bull, and keep driving. Yeah. And those days are long gone, man. They're never coming back, I don't think.
No, those days are definitely gone. Well, so listen, we'll do the behind the wheel next month as you wish.
Yeah.
Because I think you have a lot to add to to the color of what's going on, because you're on the streets, you know what's happening.
And that's what I'm saying. And we talked about EVs, Sergio. Remember, we talked about the EVs. Remember, I told you that. I sent you that picture of I'm in Beverly Hills at a traffic light, 4 a.m. for a reservation. Not making much money, but it was a good little $37, $40, pickup drop off at the airport. I'm working that no big deal. I pull up to the intersection right there on Beverly, Pico and Rodeo, right there at the cross light. I want all those lights and everything are. I pulled there. There's 7 Waymos. Not one other human driver there. Just me and those Waymos. It was a creepy kind of thing I'm looking at. I'm like, I'm now here trying to make a few bucks, and these things, all they got to be is charge up and keep working. I got to go home and rest in a little while, and these guys are out here just got to be plugged up. And it was scary then. This was about 6 months ago. That was a scary time. I said, this is really scary. If I would have filmed that right there, it would have been like a movie scene. Like, here's a human driver pulling up with all the robot cars. And this is what the world we come in. And I think Eddie, whatever, they're doing that in Austin right now. And I feel sorry for my man down there dealing with that.
Yeah,
I
know. No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I have
some plans for that. You'll just stay tuned. But anyway.
Okay.
All right. Good to see you. Be safe out there. We'll chat again.
Okay. Take care. All righty. Cool.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
There you go. That's the premier cherry picker in Los Angeles. Let me tell you that. Okay. So nobody else? Okay, cool. All right. So let's finish it off.
Moral of the story is cherry pick.
you have to cherry pick. I mean, if you want to lose money, if you think this is charity, if you think this is public transportation, if you think this is some sort of whatever, do what you need to do. Look, I mean, everybody does whatever they want to do. But you need to just look out for yourself. You can't, like I said in the last sentence of the article, you can't work for, you're not working for the apps. You're not. You're working for yourself. So, it's your choice. Do whatever you want to do. Oh, we got one more person. Okay, we got one more.
How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, good. I don't know, man. Cherry picking, I've tried it. When you sit for an hour not getting nothing but $3, I don't know how you cherry pick from garbage.
Well, what city are you in?
In the worst city in town, LA. This is what I look. I'm sure you've seen this. This is what LA.
Yeah, that's not that accurate. But let's do this. Let's do this.
You don't think this is accurate?
Not 100%. But that's not the point. The point is this. So I asked this to the previous driver. I said, if there are no cherries to pick, how can you cherry pick? Right? It makes sense. And unfortunately, if you think, like, what time was and what day of the week was it? What time was that when you were just sitting there for an hour and taking, getting $3 chips? What time of the day was it?
Well, I've noticed the San Fernando Valley is a tough place to be, and I have to work my way down to LA.
I live in Granada Hills. I know the San Fernando Valley like the back of my hand, okay? San Fernando Valley is the worst place to be. worst place to drive rideshare, number one. Number two, you know how I drive? I grab myself a scheduled trip or a reserve trip or get up, get my ass off at 4:30 in the morning. I want to be at LAX by 6, and there are plenty of people going to LAX at 4:30. I get my ass up. If I don't have a reserve trip, turn the app on. You're getting whatever trip they're paying you. You just want to go into the city, and you want to be around Santa Monica. You want to be around Marina Del Rey. You want to be around Culver City when, you know, busy hour is kicking in. If you're in the San Fernando Valley looking for trips, all you're going to get is those car dealership trips for $3 and $4. And if you're in the San Fernando Valley past 6 o'clock, you're a dead man because 405 South is dead. Any trip you get after that, it's a parking lot. So trust me, I've done this for a while. And if you're like right now, okay, where in the San Fernando Valley are you?
No, I live far. I just drive through. I try to get to LA going through the valley, unfortunately.
Okay, where do you live? Where do you live?
I live up in by Santa Clarita.
Okay, Santa Clarita, perfect trip. I plenty of people going from Santa Clarita to LAX in the mornings, but you need to get on early. Now, when Uber tells you, oh, turn the app on, you'll make $30 an hour, it's bullshit. You're not going to make any kind of money. And for a fact, Santa Clarita is only like 7 miles north of me. It's actually, Santa Clarita surges a lot more on the weekends than it does in Granada Hills or anywhere else in the valley or Sherman Oaks. So your market actually is not that bad. It's that the time you're out there is bad. The time you're out there, like if you're right now in Santa Clarita at 4:30, you turn your app on, you're not going to get any pings. But get your ass up at 4:30, turn your app on, no destination filter. You're going to catch a trip going to LAX, and now you're in the city. Work the shift between 6 and 10 a.m. That's your morning shift, split shift. And then take a couple hours off because you're not going to get back there. Now, if you want to get back to Santa Clarita with no traffic at that hour, you know, cherry pick now a trip that's going your direction. You can piece it together. Don't use your destination filter because they won't send you there. But there is a rule for this. There is a, you know, I don't believe that when people say, I'm sitting here, I'm only getting $3 trips, I mean, that means you're out at the wrong time of the day. I'm not blaming you. Maybe you don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm doing like a coaching session here with you. If you want to make money, you got to work when and where there is demand. When there is no demand, when it's 2 in the afternoon in Santa Clarita or 2 in the afternoon in Granada Hills, I can turn my app on. I will not get one ping for like 2 hours, let alone $3 ping. I won't. So, you know, you got to work when and where there is demand, and you got to position yourself correctly. Like, where do you want to be when? You want to be going to LAX, early trip, take a coffee, take your coffee, go to Marina, park, relax, have your coffee, chill out, wake up. Hit the morning rush hour, Santa Monica. Never go back to LAX. All these rules. There are all these rules that you need to know. This all comes with experience, obviously. But I'm giving you my playbook. Okay?
Well, last night, what is the minimum fare in LAX? I think it's like $12.
$3 or some shit? I don't know.
No,
LAX. LAX is 12. It's 12.
Yeah. At 2 a.m., they sent me $12 for 22 miles going to Van Nuys. They know I want to get back north, so they hit you hard, even though I didn't have my destination.
Well, here's another point. 2 a.m. at LAX, I wouldn't get caught dead at 2 LAX. I'd be in Hollywood doing drunk trips if I'm going to make some money, because that's the bar hours. The last trip, by the way, the last flight that comes into LAX is at like 2:30, and then between 2:30 and 5:30, the lot is closed. There is no planes coming in. Why am I even at LAX at 2:30 in the morning? That means you didn't plan it correctly. You didn't end up correctly at where you need to end up.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up there by, you know, I didn't plan it, honestly, but there were a lot of late flights coming. That's why I hung up, you know, I stayed there. I said, you know, maybe I'll catch something.
Well,
but okay. They hit you with $12 going to Van Nuys.
Because there are so many drivers at that time over there that you're lucky you got hit with you know, $12. So what I'm telling you, Lair, is that you live actually in a good area. So read that article and figure out what I said in that article. And please read that. It's on our website, right? It's free. Go follow some of those rules. I think you will make so much more money. You know what I mean? So much more. So anyway, thank you, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. And I hope one time you'll do a call in regarding how how the pickups are, you know, how we're scammed. By the way, especially like at events, you go to SoFi, they send us pickup zone at Karim Court inside a gated community.
Never do pickups inside their geofence area, ever, never.
Or like Dodger Stadium, same thing. You go there and you're far away from the
pin. You're a dead man walking. You go to Dodger Stadium to do a pickup in the lot. You're a dead man. I would never do that. I'd rather be parked on Sunset and doing my thing. I would never do any of that stuff. All the stuff that they want you to do, remember the last line of my article I read. You don't work for the apps. You do what you want to do. You don't drive the way they want you to drive. If you do, you're going to end up where you are. You drive the way you want to drive. That's it. That's it. No ifs, no buts about it.
All right. Thank you. Great show. Right.
Take care, bro. Take care. Be safe out there. That was a good coaching session.
It was.
Yeah, man. Because all right. He's in a good area, bro. I actually see Santa Clarita from where I'm at. I flipped the app on it like Friday night at 11. It's fucking blood red. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like people go like, just put it here. I'm like, bro, it's not going to work like that. What are you doing at LAX at 2 in the morning? There's no planes coming in. What are you doing? You know, get your butt out of bed at 4 in the morning. Grab yourself a trip. Go to LAX. Have your coffee. Hit the zone between Santa Monica, Culver City, you know, don't go. I mean, all these rules that you need to fucking know. If you don't know, then you're going to sit and complain. And I'm like, well, you know, that's it. I wrote the book of this shit, bro. Anyway, fuck it.
All right. Any last words there, Sergio?
No, man, no. We're going to be back next week. Hopefully we'll have that from Gig U for you guys. Man, it's unbelievable. It's beautiful. It really is. So I'm pumped up to put it up and have you guys benefit from it. You guys are going to benefit from it, right? But no, it's email me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com. You want to do a behind the wheel? We're going to do one. Go subscribe to the article. Go subscribe to my finance channel. You freaking will learn a shit ton free. Like Matt says, free alpha for you guys on that channel. And but anyway, so that's it.
All right. Well, with that being said, have a great rest of your night. We'll see you guys next week. Be safe and get out there and make some money.